Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sukadeva Goswami is speaking, Canto 2, Chapter 3. Text 22. The eyes which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, his forms, name, quality, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of the peacock, and the legs which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered are considered to be like tree trunks. And the purport by Srila Prabhupada, accompanied by the sound effects of the children upstairs. Especially for householder devotees, the path of deity worship is strongly recommended, as far as possible, every householder, by the direction of the spiritual master, must install the deity of Vishnu, forms of Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana, or Sitaram especially, or any other form of the Lord like Nrisingha Varaha, Gaura Nitai, Matsya Kurma, Shalagram Shila, and many other forms of Vishnu like Trivikrama, Keshava, Achyuta, Vasudeva, Narayana and Damodar are recommended in the Vaishnava Tantras or Puranas, and one's family should worship strictly the directions and regulations of the Archanavidhi. And then I'll pretend I'm not reading this next sentence. Any member of the family who is above 12 years of age should be initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. I didn't read that. And all the members of the household should be engaged in the daily service of the Lord, beginning from morning, 4 a.m., until night, 10 p.m., by performing Mangala Arati, Nirjana, Niranjana, Archana, Puja, Kirtana, Shringara, Bhoga, Vyaikali, Sandhya Arati, Patha, Bhoga, at night, Shayana Arati, etc. Engagement in such worship of the deity under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master will greatly help the householder to purify their very existence and make rapid progress in spiritual knowledge. Simple Simple theoretical book knowledge is not sufficient for a neophyte devotee. Book knowledge is theoretical, whereas the archana process is practical. Spiritual knowledge must be developed by a combination of theoretical and practical knowledge, and that is the guaranteed way for attainment of spiritual perfection. The training of devotional service for a neophyte devotee completely depends on the expert spiritual master who knows how to lead his disciple to make gradual progress towards the path back home, back to Godhead. One should not become a pseudo spiritual master as a matter of business, to meet one's family expenditures. One must be an expert spiritual master to deliver the disciple from the clutches of impending death. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has defined the bona fide qualities of a spiritual master, and one of the verses in that description reads,
Shivigrahara nityanana Shringaratan Mandiramarjanado Yuktasya Bhaktam Chaniunjatopi Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam.
Sri Vigraha is the archa, or suitable, worshipable form of the Lord. And the disciple should be engaged in worshipping the deity regularly by Shringara, by proper decoration and dressing, as also by Mandira Marjana, the matter of cleansing the temple. The spiritual master teaches the neophyte devotee all these kindly and personally to help him gradually in the realization of the transcendental name, quality, form, etc. of the Lord. Paragraph. Only attention engaged in the service of the Lord, especially in dressing and decorating the temple, accompanied by musical kirtan and spiritual instructions from scriptures, can save the common man from the hellish cinema attractions and rubbish sex songs broadcast everywhere by radios. If one is unable to maintain a temple at home, he should go to another's temple where all the above performances are regularly executed. Visiting the temple of a devotee and looking at the profusely decorated forms of the Lord well-dressed in a well-decorated sanctified temple naturally infuse the mundane mind with spiritual inspiration. And then he speaks about the legs taking you there on pilgrimage. Because that's the other half of the verse. So very powerful, clear, straightforward, scripturally based instructions here on the role of deity worship. This is in the chapter Pure Devotional Service, Change of Heart. So to change of heart in this case is attraction for the hellish cinema attractions and rubbish sex songs broadcast everywhere by radios. Now you don't even need a radio. The Archana process is as Prabhupada is indicating, especially appropriate, suitable for householders. At the same time, our Goswamis of Vrindavan, they established deity worship for themselves, and it wasn't, you know, just so that householders could come and worship the deity in their temple. It's part of the process that Lord Chaitanya had given and that they were passing on. Certainly most notable is Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who very intimately worshipped his Shalagram Shilas, self-manifesting, one of them self-manifesting as Radha Raman, and writing a detailed description of the Archana process. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made it a little more accessible by taking the deity worship section of Hari Bhakti Vilas and presenting it in Archana Padati, and Prabhupada introduced the devotees to Archana Padati. But it's just taken from Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is our standards for deity worship. The standards for deity worship in the home are simpler, commonly, although I know a couple of householders, they perform deity worship the same as is done in temples, and that's pretty intense. Especially, there's not a team of pujaris. It's like, they're just going from the shower to the altar, to the kitchen, to the shower, to the altar, to the kitchen. Take rest, get up in the morning, shower to the altar, to the kitchen. Like that. But that's their absorption, and they're happy in that way. But commonly, home worship is much simpler. Without elaborating the details of what that is, it's essentially whatever it is, minimally, whatever it is that one accepts as sustenance for one's food is first offered to the deity and is accepted only as prasadam. One isn't prepared to follow that standard in one's life, they're not ready for deity worship. And once you have deities, that's the standard that you should minimally maintain. And some daily offerings, in addition to offerings of food, arti, of some kind, changing of the water, making the altar clean for sure on a daily basis, just as is done in the temple. And kirtan, some form of singing for the pleasure of the deity. And last but not least, the distribution of prasadam. Because Prabhupada writes, distribution of deity worship is not complete without the distribution of prasadam. And of course, that's true for temples, but householders should also consider some way that they can complete their deity worship process by distributing the prasadam of the deity. Somehow, in some way, some fashion. And it purifies. It purifies the soul, purifies the senses, purifies the mind by contemplation. It helps to keep one in the mode of goodness by cleanliness, by regulation, because one's schedule may be whatever one's schedule may be, but the deity's schedule, as far as possible, should be maintained in a regular fashion. And that's a little difficult when you go to Janmashtami and you're up till midnight and then take prasadam and then you go back. And so at least some standard, regulation-wise, some standard that at a fixed time daily, or more or less at a fixed time, fixed range of time daily, that one should conduct deity worship, so that it keeps the householder, keeps the individuals who are worshiping the deity regulated. Things otherwise may change, but that doesn't change, and it keeps one regulated, and regulation is an essential part of the quality of goodness. And cleanliness. Not only the altar itself, but Mandira Marjanado, the cleansing of the area where the deity is being worshipped. And since the deity is not only being worshipped in one room, but the whole house should be kept clean. And if one isn't prepared to be clean, then wait before you have deity worship, because cleanliness is essential in deity worship. In fact, Prabhupada said there's two most important things, cleanliness and punctuality. He's speaking of temple worship, but the same principle applies. Cleanliness and punctuality. That means, you know, the pujari is ready when it's Mangalarti time with the conch raised, ready to boo at the right time. That means all the preliminary activities have to begin at the right time, the waking the deity, and each of the steps of deity worship should be very punctual, and everything, the paraphernalia, the cloth, the body, consciousness, should be very clean. That's brahminical. Preparing oneself to come before the deity by cleanliness helps elevate one and keeps one elevated in the quality of goodness. And in that quality of goodness, the transcendental reciprocation with Krishna, both when reading or hearing and when worshipping, you're closer to Krishna. Cleanliness is next to godliness. One can be in a receiving mode and more pleasing mode of worshipping. So cleanliness and punctuality. And on other occasions, Prabhupada gave a third item, which is sincerity. So that means not just the mechanics of the worship, but that it's done with one's heart. That is, I sincerely make this request of the Supreme Lord. Here we are in a townhouse out in the suburbs, and we want to invite Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to come here. So it can be done just as a routine, a ritual, and a functionary kind of little event. That's possible. But the most important ingredient, along with cleanliness and punctuality, is the sincerity, the appeal to the Supreme Lord to very kindly be present and accept the offerings that we make. And if deity worship is done in that way, then the elevation of consciousness is maximized. A couple other things. I wasn't there, but I heard a recording of Srila Prabhupada speaking when he installed Gaur Nithai in Caracas, Venezuela. Do you know where Caracas, Venezuela is? You know where South America is? So, in the map of South America, it's at about 2 o'clock. There's that stretch that goes like that. It's about 2 o'clock. So it's Venezuela. Caracas is the capital. And the devotees, Hridayananda Maharaj in particular, had gone there. He was Spanish speaking and Portuguese speaking and Sanskrit speaking, and you know, he's multilingual. So he was very enthusiastically encouraging the devotees to go on Harinam and distribute books in Spanish, and they were doing that very enthusiastically, and so many, many devotees became devotees, and they had the idea to have Gaur Nithai deities. So Prabhupada approved. And large, like as big as our Gaur Nithai deities, marble Gaur Nithai deities, were carved in Jaipur and brought to Caracas, and Prabhupada personally came and installed them. And I heard the recording later. Prabhupada was very emotional, saying to this, in this very remote part of the world, Lord Chaitanya has come simply because of your sincere appeal for him to make his presence visible for all to worship. Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. He was repeating like that. The most merciful form of the Lord. So, unfortunately, the era of enthusiasm of the devotees in Caracas didn't stay up as high as it was at one time, and gradually, this devotee population diminished, but the deities didn't go anywhere. They were still to be worshipped, and they ended up not being cared for very nicely. That's very unfortunate. And I believe there's now a good situation for them, but it was years when they weren't being worshipped so nicely. And that's when there's multiple persons for taking responsibility for worship of deities. What to speak of a devotee couple. So there's this strong endorsement given by Srila Prabhupada that householders should do this deity worship, but then to have deities to worship, it's not frivolous. It's not, oh, I'd like to have some deities to worship, let's get some deities to worship, and then later on, oh, I don't know if I want to do deity worship anymore. You can't do that. The deity worship is to be maintained. So, commonly, like Prabhupada is saying here, if someone has that propensity and commitment and so on, and especially in a situation like this community, the devotees can come together and come and take darshan of the deity where someone is worshipping like that. And in different ways, make arrangements for rotation of Mangalarti or something. Some way of, if you don't have a deity in your home. During Srila Prabhupada's time, it was not so common for householders to have deities in their home. It was far more common that the deity worship was to be taken place at the temple. Of course, there weren't like the large, overwhelmingly large percentage of devotees who were householders at that time. It was largely temples where brahmacharis and brahmacharinis and sannyasis and not very many householders in the, you know, fixed sadhakas in the congregation, fixed enough to have deity worship in their home. But there was a place that had that, and that was Los Angeles. And Prabhupada, you know, because second canto was already translated, so many of the householders, they were, whoopee, we'll go get deities in our home. Prabhupada said, look at this. And then they weren't coming to the temple, nor were they doing deity worship in the temple, and they were right across the street from the deity, the main Rukmini Dwarkadish. So Prabhupada corrected that wrong understanding. The primary worship should be in the temple, and additional worship in one's home, but primary worship in the temple, not at this, at the neglect or the diminishing of the primary worship in the temple. So here, in at least in the city, many devotees have moved and gotten their homes or apartments or whatever close by the temple, and they're taking up the worship of the deity, and that's a very nice standard. Very nice standard. What is installing of deities is meant for? It's meant for the purification of those who worship the deity. And that's sufficient. If the deity is there in the temple and that's one's place of worship, that's sufficient. More than sufficient. And in this situation, more remote, so having some deity in one's home or in the community where also the children can see their parents taking part in the deity worship and can then be inspired. They want to do something also for the deity. And in fact, that should be encouraged. And as so as the child grows up, just as in another part of the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Pariksit is speaking about his childhood, where from early age he was given a deity to worship. And Prabhupada speaks that he was also, as a small boy, his father was worshipping Radha Krishna deities, Radha Govinda. And Prabhupada wanted to follow in the footsteps of his father, and so he requested from his father that he could also have deities. So his father gave him what Prabhupada called dolls. And they weren't dolls like ones that, you know, there's cloth with stuffing inside. He meant they were brass deities, but they were not regarded with the same standard as the home deity, which is not the same standard as the temple deity. So brass deities, but for a child without the same expectation of standard of worship for the child, but at the same time, the child needs to be trained. This isn't just a toy or something that you play with and then neglect. It's, if you're going to have a deity of your own following your parents here, then this should be done very carefully, with respect and regularly and with devotion and sincerely and cleanliness and all the standards. Otherwise, it's not good. So, side by side with the process of hearing and chanting, the Shravanam Kirtanam or Bhagavat Marg is the deity worship activity, Pancharatrika Marg, the path of deity worship. And the two go hand in hand, they go very nicely together. Of the two, the one that's more important is the hearing and chanting portion. But the hearing and chanting portion is enhanced by the deity worship, as I already mentioned. If it's done properly, it enhances both the quality of goodness and the receptivity of the reciprocation with Krishna in his deity form. There is the message of Krishna in his sound vibration form, or the form of the deity in his form of his holy name, deity worship. Enhances those other practices of bhakti for the pleasure of the deity, singing or reciting, of course for our own purification, but also simultaneously for the pleasure of the deity. Just like when in the temple room when we have kirtan, it's not just musical entertainment. The devotional part, the deity worship part is for the pleasure of the deity. And the deity derives pleasure from hearing. There's a very nice pastime, many of you heard, where in relation to Jayadev Goswami, he had written Gita Govinda. Gita Govinda is one of the songs from Gita Govinda is our Nrisinga prayers are Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare, and describing the Das Avatars and their glories. But Gita Govinda is a very large writing, a very large book. And it's sung, Gita Govinda, glorifications of Govinda. And for a period of time, a large part of Jayadev Goswami's life, he lived in Jagannath Puri. And one day, the king was taking darshan of the deity of Lord Jagannath, and he noticed that some part of Jagannath's cloth was torn. And he didn't say anything at the moment, but he went to find the pujari and pointed out to the pujari, "What's this? How come the cloth of the deity is torn?" And he was chastising the pujari, and the pujari said, I don't know what happened. I can't say how this happened. We take very good care of the cloth of Jagannath." And that night, the king had a dream, and the dream Jagannath told him, "There's one gardener's daughter that sings Gita Govinda very nicely in the garden. And I go there to hear her sing because she sings so nicely. And just the other night, some cloth got stuck on a thorn, and it ripped. So you know, don't become unhappy with the pujari." And the king woke up, and he went and looked at the cloth and saw that it was very likely what happened. So he wanted to find out who's the gardener's daughter that's singing Gita Govinda. And when he found out, he, with the permission of the gardener, he had the girl brought in a palanquin to Jagannath's temple. So she could sit in the temple and sing for Lord Jagannath, so he wouldn't have to go to the garden and find her and maybe rip another cloth. And from that time, going forward, because that was just before Lord Chaitanya's time, there's now a group of girls that are trained to sing Gita Govinda, and it's one part of the worship of the deity is In addition to the worship on the altar, whatever the pujaris do, there's the Devi Dasis that sing Gita Govinda in chorus regularly, because the deity is pleased by hearing the descriptions of beautiful songs and kirtan. And so it's enjoyable for us because it's enjoyable by Krishna. And part of our consciousness when performing kirtan and whatever else we do in our temples, that's part of the consciousness, or in one's home, part of the consciousness is for the service of the deity, for the pleasure of the deity. And when one develops that consciousness, there's an intimacy, there's a relationship that develops. And those of you that have served deities for some time in some temple, but I guess mostly here it's Kishore Kishori, or perhaps in your home, some attachment develops for the deity, and some reciprocation with the deity, some affinity for serving the deity. And it's not just a blind sentiment. It's a relationship with Krishna. Whether it's on the altar or in the kitchen or in the pujari room or in the temple room singing or just cleaning the temple room floor, if the consciousness is this is being done for the pleasure of the deity, which should be our consciousness, then some attachment develops and some reciprocation comes. A relationship awakens and attachment for the deity becomes part of your consciousness. And when you have attachment for something or someone, you think of that something or someone. It grows as your Krishna consciousness grows. So in the practice stage, deity worship is important, and following the standards carefully to serve to elevate consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any comments or thoughts, questions somebody wants to bring up? Yeah?
Maharaj, I was meditating on the last point you were mentioning throughout the discussion. I was wondering how important that aspect of progressive Christian consciousness is.
Oh, it's not important at all.
Yeah. You're becoming attached to the deity form in particular.
I don't... Okay, I'll let you say your question. I don't understand the language that you're using, though.
We see so many acharyas and have developed such great attachment to a particular deity.
Okay.
So for our growth in Krishna consciousness, how essential is a particular deity, one getting attracted to that? Or if one doesn't have that form of deity worship, developing a relationship with Krishna, you know, outside of the deity form?
You know, different persons are different. If you had to say, from reading Lilamrita, did Prabhupada have a particular deity that he was particularly attached to, and wherever he went, he was thinking of that deity and serving that deity? Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So, in some cases, certainly, yes, there's a particular deity. But here's what Prabhupada told us. You'll like this one. When the devotees were doing extensive traveling sankirtan, they asked Prabhupada, should we be worshipping deities along with our extensive, because we're out for a long time, we don't see the temple deity yet for a long time. Should we get deities and keep in our bus or our motorhome or our van or our, you know, whatever? And Prabhupada's answer was, these books are your deity. Yay. This is brahmachari stuff, right? The books are your deity. So after he said that, you know, we used to have this situation where we just filled the van up to the ceiling and we slept on top of the books. And then we realize, whoops, we're worshiping the deity, the books as our deity is not a good idea. So then that's when platforms started coming in. So we slept on the platform, and the books went under the platform. But before, we just slept on the books. It was fun. And then as we got down and down and down, we'd order another shipment. They, fly in an air container off to, Boise, Idaho, or Fargo, North Dakota, or wherever we were, and, get another air container, fill it up again. It was nice. But the books were our deity. And that's, if one has that capacity and propensity in their life, that's fine. So it's your question was, how important is it? One should the attachment to Krishna is important, and that's one very nice way to become attached to Krishna in his deity form. And others more so, others less so, depending upon where their affinity is, their mood of devotion, executing devotional service. Something else? Okay, so we'll have our tea.